All right, next up, we have application 2017-15, Kindleton.
This is a cluster subdivision. The cluster subdivision proposes to subdivide 49.37 acres into 90 single-family lots. The property is located on the east side of Robinsonville Road, Road 277, and on the north side of Cedar Grove Road, Road 283. The zoning is AR1 Agricultural Residential District. The 911 address is not available. The tax map is District 334, Map 11, Parcel 81. Staff would submit into the record an exhibit booklet, comments from the Sussex Conservation District, a DLDOT letter regarding a scoping information, comments from the Department of Agriculture, comments from the Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, and comments from the Engineering Department Public Works Division. Thank you.
All right, is there anyone here representing this application?
Yes, good evening. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown, and I am representing the applicant, Kindleton LLC. And I don't think I can be quite as fast as that first hearing. That was
Give it your best shot.
Yes, they did pretty well there.
caught me off guard there.
It was very efficient, you know.
I'll try to learn from it. With me are Greg Tobias, who's on behalf of the applicant, and Zach Crouch from Davis Bowen and Friedel. There was an exhibit book that was submitted containing a summary of the proposed subdivision and supporting documents, including a letter addressing the Section 99.9C items, the Environmental and Public Facilities Report, and the DLDOT approval letter. As stated, this is an application for a cluster subdivision to be called Kindleton. It's on a parcel of land containing 49.37 acres. It's located on the north side of Cedar Grove Road and the east side of Robbinsville Road, just south of Jimtown Road. The subdivision will consist of 90 single-family lots and recreational amenities. The adjacent uses are some agricultural uses and residential uses. There are several residential lots located along Robbinsville Road, as you can see on the front there to the left. To the north of our site is the Holly Pines development. That's a GR zone subdivision. To the north of Holly Pines is the Bridal Ridge development, and that's an AR1 zone subdivision. And to the south of our site, across Cedar Grove Road, is the Retreat at Love Creek, which is an MR medium density residential plan community. The majority of our parcel is designated as investment level 3 under the strategies for state policies and spending. A small portion of it is actually level 2. Under the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, the land is located in the environmentally sensitive development area, which, as you know, the plan designates as one of the county's growth areas. The plan recognizes that a range of housing types are permitted in the environmentally sensitive development area, including single-family homes, and central water and sewer facilities are recommended. Under the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance, the land is zoned AR1, and is also designated as being in the environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone, which does permit the clustering of single family lots to a minimum lot size of 7,500 square feet in size if central water and sewer are utilized. And that district also permits that the maximum density allowed is the density of the underlying zoning district. So in our case, the land is zoned AR1, which would permit 2.178 lots per acre. So on this piece, that would be a total permitted of 107 lots for this parcel. And again, we are proposing 90 single family lots, which is a gross density of 1.8 lots per acre. So I believe from the comp plan and the zoning ordinance, our application fully complies with those requirements. And I think my conclusion is supported by the fact that this same 49-acre parcel was previously approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission for a 92-lot single-family lot subdivision in December of 2008, about 9 years ago. That application was subdivision 2007-8. It was approved under the name Shepherd Walk Subdivision. That approval occurred about the same time that the beginning of our recent severe recession was becoming apparent. And I think, as you know, in Sussex County, most, if not all, real estate development ground to a halt about that time. And that included the Shepherd Walk subdivision. The preliminary approval for that subdivision actually remained valid through January 1st of 2016 as a result of two blanket time extensions that the Sussex County Council had granted for all development that had received preliminary approval. But because construction of that development was not substantially underway by January 1st, 2016, that approval terminated and became void. And I did submit for the record copies of those minutes if you care to look at that subdivision hearing, the minutes of the Planning Commission. Our application tonight, again, is the same piece of property. It is by a different developer. The site plan is not identical, but it is similar to the site plan that had previously been approved. The two significant differences, again, not really that significant, but the original approval was for 92 single-family lots. We are proposing 90. And the original site plan had a road crossing across a small wetland area, and that has been deleted. And the new site plan has no wetland encroachments. Now, as to the specifics of the development, and I'll let Zach, if he'll bring up the site plan. Now you can bring up the large one.
That's all, everything's in that one. So you've got three sheets there.
Okay. As to the specifics, the subdivision will be provided with water for domestic use and fire protection by Tidewater Utility, Inc. And Tidewater has the Certificate of Public Necessity to serve this area. Central sewer will be provided by Tidewater Environmental Services, Inc. By order of the Delaware Public Service Commission in 2007, Tidewater holds the Wastewater Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity for this area and is authorized to provide wastewater service for our proposed development. Tidewater has indicated in a letter to us that it is willing and able to provide wastewater service to the development. It is anticipated that a new pump station would be located on our site connecting to existing Tidewater infrastructure. Tidewater was also the designated wastewater provider in that previously approved Shepherd's Walk subdivision in 2008. And I will be submitting at the end of my presentation proposed conditions. And as you normally do, those proposed conditions will include conditions that central water and central sewer would be conditions of approval. And I know there's some representatives from the retreat at Love Creek here, and I certainly don't mean to be speaking for them, but I understand there is some question issue. I'm really not fully aware of the details of it. Between the HOA there and Tidewater as to the interconnection of the system, because Tidewater has sewer facilities basically within or adjacent to the retreat. Again, that really has nothing to do with us. We're required to use Tidewater. Tidewater is required to provide sewer, and that's all under either the Public Service Commission or by whatever contractual agreements they may have. So I just wanted to state that we have no, really nothing to do with that issue. Ed Linnay of Environmental Resources, Inc. performed a wetland evaluation. He determined that 10.26 acres of forested non-tidal wetlands are located on the site. These wetlands have no surface water connection to other water bodies and are considered to be isolated wetlands. And I've done a lot of these hearings, and I haven't really hit this too often, but the isolated wetlands are not subject to the Army Corps of Engineers regulatory programs, and they are not regulated under Section 404 of the Clean Water Act. So these are unregulated wetlands, meaning you can do what you want with them. The wetlands are located, as you can see.
Don't say that too loud. Somebody will hear you and change that.
I'll clean it up as okay. I go on. As you can see from the site plan, the wetlands are located in a low area around the middle of it which is indicated by that central wooded area, and then in the, I think it's the northeast corner of the property. Again, these are unregulated wetlands. We are not disturbing them. We are not touching them. They will remain as they are. The property is in a flood zone X and is not impacted by the 100-year floodplain, and that was determined from the FEMA flood maps. From our plus comments, there are no known state or federally listed endangered or threatened species on the site, and according to the National Register of Historic Places, there are no archaeological sites or National Register listed sites on the property. As to the traffic impact, the entrance will be onto Robbinsville Road. The entrance will be constructed per DLDOT requirements. Part of DLDOT requirements are that on Cedar Grove Road, there would be a 5-foot wide shoulder constructed, and that would run from the eastern edge of our property down to Robbinsville Road. The developer will be required to enter into a traffic signal agreement with DLDOT for a future signal at the Robbinsville Road, Cedar Grove Road intersection. And as you know, you enter into those agreements and the signal's put in when DLDOT determines that it's warranted. At that point, the developer needs to contribute. And the developer will also contribute to the area-wide study fee required by DLDOT. The internal streets within the development will be constructed in conformity with Sussex County road design standards and specifications. There will be private streets. The subdivision will have sidewalks on both sides of the streets, street lights, and curbs and gutters. Sediment and stormwater management facilities will be designed and constructed in accordance with DENRAC regulations and will require, of course, review and approval by the Sussex Conservation District. The storm drainage system will capture 100% of all drainage on the site. The system will incorporate best available technologies and best management practices in the design and construction of the facilities and will utilize infiltration and slow release practices in accordance with DENRAC guidelines to manage the stormwater and enhance groundwater recharge. As I stated, there is proposed to be 90 single-family lots. The average lot size is 10,764 square feet, and it is anticipated that the site would be developed in two phases of approximately half each. There will be a centrally located recreational center that will have a community swimming pool, a community pool house that would contain bath and changing rooms, the pump room and storage areas. Also a playground, some open areas, and a parking lot adjacent to the amenities. The perimeter of the development will have a forested buffer between the rear lot lines and adjacent property boundary lines of 20 feet, except where it is adjacent to agricultural uses, where there will be a 30-foot buffer, again, per requirements of the code. The development design results in a gross density of 1.8 lots per acre and total open space of 20.32 acres, or 41% of the site. The site is within the Fire Protection Service area of the Lewis Volunteer Fire Department and is in the Cape Henlopen School District. There will be a homeowners association created that will be responsible for the future care and maintenance of all community common areas, including the streets, stormwater facilities, recreational amenities, and open space. I do have for your consideration proposed conditions, similar to conditions that you've imposed on other subdivisions. And obviously, I'd ask you to consider those. In summary, we believe the proposed subdivision is in full compliance with the county comp plan, the zoning ordinance, and the subdivision ordinance. As I previously stated, this is, to a certain extent, a redo of a similar subdivision that was previously approved by the commission. That will conclude my presentation, other than any questions you may have for Greg or Zach or myself.
Thank you. All right, let's see if anybody on the commission has any questions. And why don't we start with you, Mr. Hopkins?
Okay. So when I went down and looked at the site, the first thing that came to my mind was, as traffic builds up greater and greater, it seems like there would be a traffic light at Cedar Grove and Robinson Road at some point, and you say that is in the works.
Yeah, well, the developer will have to contribute to that, but...
We don't know when it's
going to happen. Right, DelDOT makes the call.
DelDOT's already told us we're getting ahead of ourselves on traffic lights.
But at some point, but I'm looking at the new plan, and I don't see any way to get on the project from Cedar Grove or get off.
There is no entrances from Cedar Grove.
But then I was looking at the previous design, and there were two entrances on the Cedar Grove.
Right, and there was no entrance on Robbinsville Road.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just a redesign. The determination was they prefer a single entrance from Robbinsville Road.
Oh, is that so? The other one is real small. I can't see it. So, is that the common? What was that area? Where there's now lots and an entrance on Robbinsville? I can't read it on this. It's so small.
Are you looking at the original plot?
I'm looking at the one that the attachment to the letter that you sent on January 2nd to Ms.
Shepherd's
Cornwell.
Walk.
Yeah, let me. So you're talking about where we have the entrance?
Where the entrance is now.
Now, okay.
Yes.
Hi, Greg Tobias. I live at 16346 Snook Court in Lewis. So that corner, that square that you see there that went up against Robinsonville Road, is part of the Gibbons family. They did these strip lots out on Robinsonville Road. And they retained those. So in actuality, that approval that was received some years back was not for the entire 49 point.
So that parcel that's being referred to was not part of the original?
Wasn't part of the subdivision. But they were being kept out as four strip lots for the Gibbons.
But it is now?
For the Gibbons family.
But it is now?
Yes, now it is.
Gotcha.
But the original developer did not have it under contract.
Okay.
It shows on there, though.
Yes.
The boundary shows that it goes all the way around. I mean, is that an error from the first one in 2008?
They kept control of it, and that's why they didn't want a road going through it. The family was planning to put two houses on it.
Is there a downside to... if there's going to be a traffic light on Cedar Grove at some point, what would be the downside of entering and exiting the development through Cedar Grove where you have the control of the left-hand turn at the traffic light exiting the place at Robbinsonville?
Just to go back one second to answer your question, Vince, is that
just state your name for the record.
I'm sorry. For the record, I'm Zach Crouch with Davis Bowen and Fidel. There is actually a note on there that says that they would retain that. It's kind of hard to read.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah.
It is pretty small, so they were going to retain that as part of the project. I mean, it was just going to be residual lands to them.
Just the way it's drawn, at least on the small one, it's hard to read because the bold one goes all the way around.
Yes.
But at the same time, the street stubs off there, which would also be weird. So, yeah. Okay.
After meeting with DelDOT in reference to the entrances, it was determined that the better location was to have it out on Robinsonville Road based on the other two access points for retreat and having everything access on Robinsonville Road, which we can provide a protective left as well. But, you know, any intersection improvements to that intersection, per DelDOT, that, you know, the developer is going to will be responsible for, as well as a signal agreement.
So when Mr. Fouquet referenced the widening of the road, was that Cedar Grove or was that Robinsonville?
A shoulder on Cedar Grove is going to be added. There is no shoulder there now, as I recall.
And it's there again. It's part of their requirements to provide pedestrian bike path. So we're going to provide a shoulder along the whole or on our side from the eastern side to the intersection.
So the benefit to to this development is basically providing like a bike path. The reason I ask the question is, I guess I would almost ask it. The first question would be, was that to accommodate the original entrances in, or is that post?
This is post. This is actually the new Del Dot requirement.
Yeah, that's actually a new Del Dot requirement. And plus, there's a Del Dot project that's going to the east that, you know, the bike paths will tie into.
Right. So it's basically a bike path for the development, but it's adding onto the shoulder.
Del Dot's requiring a widening of any property you have bordering a road, basically, to create the bike pedestrian paths.
Any road frontage.
I'm a little hung up on this, the entrance, but I have to. Okay, so Zach, can you explain? You say that there are provisions made for the left-hand turn onto Robinsonville. What are they?
As far as where the entrance is at.
Well, in other words, what I would be concerned about is coming out of the development onto Robinsonville, trying to make a left-hand turn, and you know, as traffic picks up, when you're ultimately going to have a light down Cedar Grove, when you definitely be able to make a left-hand turn at the traffic light if you came out onto Cedar Grove. So I thought I heard you say just a few minutes ago, but there is, what was the term you used? There's some provision for a left-hand turn?
Yeah, for our entrance will have a diesel lane and a protective left turn lane into the subdivision.
I'm sorry. I was talking about
You're
turning
talking about
out.
Exiting.
I'm trying to get out of the development, making that left-hand turn.
Out of the development.
Yeah. So you're crossing in front of the traffic to get out.
Yes.
Mr. Hopkins, I'll be honest with you. I understand, but it's no different than any place else. You wait till there's no traffic.
Yeah. Okay.
Del Dot has basically approved the entrance subject to the site improvement.
It's not going to have a regular bypass lane. It's going to have a protective left, so cars can sit there, and it will be out of the way of the through lane, so that you know there is more time to maneuver instead of a bypass lane.
Now, can I get a clarification? So did Del Dot tell you to put the entrance there, or you went to Del Dot and said, we'd like to put the entrance here, and they said, great, do it?
You design it, and then Del Dot reviews it and either approves it or doesn't approve it. In this case, it was approved subject to the conditions I mentioned.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't think I have any other questions.
Mr. Wheatley?
Just the only thing that was curious to me, and I think I'm realizing now, the interconnectivity has become a subject again, and become a desirable thing. And it seemed like in the original plan that there were entrances or exits lined up with the streets across the way there, and the subdivision those two areas there. And I guess that because of the existence of the road, that became not a good idea, or?
Well, again, interconnectivity, as we normally refer to it, is internal.
Yeah, I know.
Right,
yeah.
Not on streets.
Yeah, I understand.
And I can give you both arguments. I can understand it. It's pretty. It's lined up directly, but you also would have lefts and rights theoretically coming out
yeah.
of both developments facing one another.
I'm seeing
and that isn't necessarily advisable either.
I agree.
Yeah, that's a good
yep.
point.
That's a good point. And I'm glad you brought that up, because when I first saw it, I thought, well, that would, you know, that,
it
that
looks
would be
nice.
The thing to do. Yeah, it was symmetrical.
Yes,
you know?
it's very symmetrical.
Yeah, and simple-minded folks like me like symmetry, I guess. But
it also seems a potential for people running into each other.
Right. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. I don't have any other questions. Thank you.
Mr. Hudson?
No, my questions have been covered. Thank you.
I'm apparently simple-minded. I'm still going with the.
The thing is, there's a through street there. That's the problem. If you could just scoot straight across, it'd be fine. You know, without there wasn't a street, but essentially creating two more intersections.
Well, I understand that, but I just know that Cedar Grove Road is not as busy
yeah.
as Robinsonville Road, and as a safety factor, Plus, if you had two entrances, then I wouldn't, you know, throw my hissy fit about having to have interconnectivity to that lot there to the, what is that, west?
East.
East. East for when it's developed. If I mean, two, again, I'm looking for safety for people living here now and people who would be moving here from somewhere else. And if one thing I learned in this last snowstorm, when I had a friend who was a nurse who couldn't get out of her development, and his development actually, and a fireman who couldn't get out of his development because there was only one entrance and it was blocked by a car, you need to have another way to get out if you have to. So,
and I realize this isn't the forum for this discussion, but if we're going to get into interconnectivity in general, I think that really has to be an issue that has to be addressed separately. Because I mentioned before, I have concerns about, there's a lot of other issues aside from the practicality that you mentioned, which is certainly the good point. But there is the issue about private roads.
Yes.
All right, and you go to plenty of subdivisions that say these are private roads, only owners and their guests are permitted. You have a question of liability. If someone's using that road and there's something that happens, who's responsible? There's a question of maintenance. That development is paying for the maintenance of that road. If other people can use it, you know, what's that? You know, what's the impact of that? And I vaguely remember, Mr. Wheatley may remember this, because we had this discussion, you know, I don't know, it could have been 15, 20 years ago. I don't recall. But my recollection was, and this surprised everyone, my recollection is that the state police said they were opposed to it. Because if they make a criminal call going to a subdivision, they'd prefer to be able to go in to go to where the call is and be able to secure the entrance so people couldn't leave. Yeah. They didn't want multiple exits or into other subdivisions. So I only say there's good reasons for it, but there's also other reasons that, you know, should be discussed.
I can tell you from experience that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is why we...
Which is why we didn't do it.
We got away from it. But in certain instances, it certainly can make some sense. But I'm not sure this is one of them. But, you know.
And I didn't even mention again the Oceanway Estates situation, where, given certain physical conditions, you can create a true road that the public is using
right
through a development. And I know none of us would want to live in a development where there's increased general traffic coming through in front of our house. But
that would become a major highway in Oceanway Estates.
Oh, it's a straight shot. It's a drag strip when you go down that road.
No, I'm...
Prince, just to be clear, Oceanway Estates, that's how it was approved. It was approved specifically as four different subdivisions where they all actually interconnected off the main road. I mean, and it was clear in that was the intention, and that was how it was approved.
How it was done.
Oh, I agree, but my point is the residents eventually realized that was a problem, and then they put up the gates or whatever they put up, and you guys dealt with all that for about a year or so. Anyway, I just say there's a lot to talk about.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Madam Chairperson, we're digressing here.
Anyway, that was my big thing. I was actually impressed with the Shepherd's Walk design for those reasons before.
Is it out of the question to maybe not line it up with the other? I can definitely appreciate the two people on the development of Love Creek and the retreat of Love Creek and this one, you know, trying to figure out who got there first to make the turn. But could it, you have that whole long run along the retreat? Is it out of the question to get one egress, to get one entrance onto Love Creek? Onto Love Creek, not Love Creek, onto Cedar Grove Road?
Close to Love Creek.
I mean, could you roll lot 29? I mean, could you just move some of those lots around that radius a little bit and keep all your lots, but...
Well, I'd certainly have to say, to answer your question, it's not impossible. If that's required, I'd have to... Yes, Zach, he knows more about the traffic engineering.
You know, for instance, if there again, it's not like it can't happen. I mean, the problem, I mean, what would have to happen would you'd have to have a protective left in both sides, in both directions. So you'd have that same scenario that we just talked about, because you're going to have a left into this subdivision as well as the other subdivision.
Okay.
Based on you know, the number of trips per each development.
There'd be impacts on the retreat entrances that would have to be
analyzed. Because there's bypass things out there right now. I mean, you can go through an aerial review.
Yeah, no,
it gets complicated.
You know? Yeah,
so if that happened, then you would have protective lefts, which would be additional widening. There's bypasses right now at both entrances. Because there's bypasses there now, so now protective lefts would have to extend in both directions on both of them.
I think I can state that we would prefer not to have a actual entrance on Cedar Grove Road. It's certainly possible we could put in, which I think we discussed, I was at a hearing a couple months ago, we could put in an emergency access if that would be deemed appropriate. We could move a lot and put that in, but we really would, it's not our intention or our preference to have entrances or exits on Cedar Grove Road.
So did the wetlands cause, because you're not asking for any, you've accumulated, it looks like you've picked up that other lot that we were talking about, that other, you know, area where you put, now you've put 1, 2, 3, 4, it looks like 8 or 9 lots.
They're proposing less lots now than they
proposed in 2016. I know, they're proposing less lots. Did the wetlands consume more, or did you just have more open space? I mean, obviously, you must have more open space now, something.
There's more
the same lots but more land.
Same lots but more land. That's correct.
Maybe the lots got a little bigger or something.
And you know the wetland. This area here, if you look at the old one, was a little bit narrow, and not sure if it's just between the time of when they did the delineation from previously. But that's how come. If you look at the old plan, there was a crossing right here, which we actually just removed to try to save that. Just save all the trees in there, and also not to disturb the wetlands, even though they're not regulated.
As I said, that's the main change on the plan. It doesn't have a wetland crossing, although they are unregulated wetlands. We still don't want to touch the wetlands.
Well, I do appreciate you trying to save as many of those old growth trees that are back there.
And that's
I can see,
it's an asset to the development.
All right. Okay. That's all the questions I have. Mrs. Walls, do you have any questions?
None for me. Thank you.
Mrs. Cornwell?
None, thank you.
Mr. Robin?
No, thanks, no.
Robertson. I am having troubles tonight.
Robinsonville Road.
All right. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to this application? Please come up.
Good evening.
Give me your...
My name is Charlie Tanachi. I live at 19567 Blair Court at the Retreat at Love Creek. I'm the president of the Retreat at Love Creek HOA, which is, as you know, just across the street from the Kindleton development. Mm-hmm. While we are not opposed to the development, there are some things that need to be done to make it improve the development and allow it to blend in better with the existing community. The first thing, as you discussed and heard, was the installation of a traffic light. That should almost be a mandatory thing based on the volume of traffic that is evolved from the Love Creek Elementary School, the Dorman development on Mulberry Knoll, and this new development is just going to make things much more worse. I understand that may not be in the purview of this council, but a strong recommendation is probably what DelDOT needs to hear. The second thing is to increase the setbacks of the properties that are bordering on Cedar Grove Road. As planned, there's only a 20-foot setback buffer for the Kindleton development. Across the street at the retreat, there are two large ponds that separate the community from the road, offering a visual and physical buffer of over 100 feet from the road. Kindleton would have property lines 20 feet from the right-of-way of Cedar Grove Road. You'd end up having a wall of homes right up against the buffer and right-of-way of Cedar Grove Road. It will look horrible and inconsistent with the neighborhood that is going to be developed in. By eliminating homes in the internal loop, the Kindleton Circle could be flattened and freed space be allocated to a larger setback in the development. They could also relocate the stormwater retention pond onto Cedar Grove Road like we did at the retreat. There is also a few questions that are open, such as where is the sewage treatment plant facility located? That pumping station doesn't go to anything that Tidewater has at this time in the area. The Tidewater facility that is servicing the retreat at Love Creek is not available at this time for use by Kindleton. It is our property and our exclusive use. It is not for anyone else's use at this time. So I don't know where they're going to be able to pump this sewage, but it's not to us. The other part is that there's no proposed discussion as far as the buffer. The barrier between Cedar Grove Road and the backs of the homes, whether it's going to be fences or trees or hopefully not homeowners' backyards. So in closing, I think there's a density issue at this property. I think there is too much encroachment onto Cedar Grove Road, and without careful planning and restrictions, this new development would give a cluttered and congested, not a clustered, appearance, and would be inconsistent with the surrounding environment. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So where's the sewage going, Mr. Figueroa?
Yes, Mr.
Or somebody.
The sewage is going to Tidewater. That's the business they're in, and that's their responsibility on how they're going to treat it. I don't know. But like I said, I'm not into that question. One of the conditions on our approval will be that the site is served by Central Sewer. It's in the Tidewater service area. We have to use Tidewater. They have to provide service per the Public Service Commission.
They have to figure
it out. I'm expecting that they are planning on going to the facility on the retreat that I don't know whether they own or lease or what the arrangements are, and I'm assuming that the HOA does not agree with that, and that's a matter between them. But I don't think it has anything to do with approval of this application. Again, it's a Public Service Commission issue or a contractual issue.
It was more a curious question. I agree with you. This project, if approved, can't move forward. If it doesn't have public sewer, where it comes from, we don't really care.
And I do want to mention that the buffer does, it's a landscape buffer. There is a landscape design on the plans as required by ordinance. And again, the 20-foot is what's required by ordinance, nothing more. And that's what's always applied to other subdivisions.
Right.
Can I just ask a clarification on that? It's 20 feet, but is that 20 feet from the property line now, or is that, this is more an answer for the audience, or 20 feet from the line after all the dedication to DelDOT for the right-of-way?
Well, I'll tell you what.
I mean, in other words, it's further. My guess is that road, you guys are going to have to dedicate some to DelDOT, I think, on Cedar Grove Road, or no? It has enough room. Okay, that was my question. I didn't know if it was being expanded.
So would it then actually be further back than
yeah.
than whatever? That, I don't know what the right of way is there.
Yeah.
Right. How about on Robinsonville Road? Is there, what's the, do you have an easement to DelDOT and actual more setbacks? Because that's another road that's eventually going to have to be widened. So,
well, on Robinsonville Road, we only have those two lots there at the entrance, and there's more than enough setback there.
What is that setback? I'm sorry.
Zach, do you know what that is?
It's in 20 feet. I mean, and there again, if DelDOT requires anything in reference to site distance for that entrance, I mean, we're required to do that.
And again, it's 20 feet from the right of way, not from the road pavement.
Yeah, that's
the point. Okay.
And if you all have to dedicate more to DelDOT, that's going to push that 20 feet
further
off wherever the new line is.
We just have to shift everything.
Yeah, right.
Make sure that 20 foot buffer still complies.
Right.
All right. I saw someone else had wanted to speak.
Good evening. My name is Bill Badala. I live at the Retreat at Love Creek, 19730 Bernard Drive. Just want to add to Charlie's comments and also bring up a broad issue relative to density in the area. Honorable Madam Chairman, Chairperson.
Again, you're not, Chairman is fine. I don't, okay. It's not going to bother me.
You brought up the issue of the entry and two entries, etc. You made the point that Robinsonville is more busy than Cedar Grove. I don't have empirical evidence, but I think observations have been over the last 4 or 5 years, particularly since they improved Postal and Plantation Road with the traffic signal there, that there is a lot of traffic that comes down Robbinsville to Cedar Grove, makes the right turn and goes down Cedar Grove. And if I had to take a guess, I would guess that the traffic has probably doubled or tripled over the last 4 years in the area, as people have found shortcuts to avoid Route 24 to the Route 1. And so to the point of two entries on Cedar Grove versus one on Robbinsville, I think if you put two entries on Cedar Grove, you potentially create more complexity in traffic as people trying to exit from two different developments, making potentially right or left-hand turns.
Mr. Fuqua agrees with you.
Okay. So anyway, that was the point that I was trying to make, is that you know, you've got traffic building as it is. Now, let's look at the overall area. You have a lot of open space going between Cedar Grove and Plantation down that route to Robbinsville, and the same from Plantation and Robbinsville going down to 24. But you have developments in the pipeline. You have, for example, if you start looking at Cedar Grove coming down from Plantation, you have a new development that went in Cedar Grove, which was on 27 acres, 25 home sites, roughly one per acre. You have the Grove at Love Creek, which is proposed and is coming before planning and zoning in April, which is on 190 acres, 255 homes. That's 1.34 houses per acre. Okay? You have the Retreat at Love Creek, which currently exists. 139 acres, 161 lots, 1.16. What's the density of this development? 1.81, much higher. Within the AR1 limits, but still much higher. Come the other way. You're coming from Plantation and Robbinsville. You have a couple old communities, specifically Seawood, Gosling Creek, Morning View, Estates of Bridal Ridge. I believe all of them are half acre or more in the sense of the lot sizes. Okay? Then you get to the Retreat again. Then the next big development that is currently under development is Tidewater Landing. 163 acres, 213 homes, 1.3 houses per acre. And then you have a lot of open land. You have single family homes, single lots, no different than the single lots that you see here, which you clearly can see looks to be somewhere between half an acre to an acre. So you have patches of open land with these corridor roads that bring you from 24 to essentially Plantations Road or Route 1. You have developments around them now and being built in the future which have density levels of approximately 1.2, 1.3, give or take a little bit, but now you have another development going in that's pushing close to the limits, the 1.8. So I think even though from an AR1 cluster subdivision it's allowable, the commission has to think about the overall growth in the area. There's going to be even more developments and what that traffic pattern is going to be. And a light at Robbinsville and Cedar Grove becomes essential. As I said, the traffic has increased tremendously. Thank you.
Anyone else would like to speak in opposition? Come on up.
My name is Wafi Ganey, and we live in one of the houses out on Robbinsonville Road at 18829 Robbinsonville Road. And our concern basically is traffic also. We keep seeing all these housing developments going up on two-lane roads with no shoulder. We've been there 12 years. The traffic has completely doubled, probably even more than that in 12 years on Robbinsonville Road. Robbinsonville Road has become a raceway. They have passing lanes on it in front of our house. The people pass like crazy on that road. I mean, I'm just concerned about another entrance being put on the road, and cars coming up to the backs of cars trying to pull into their own houses. We have an issue with this all the time. When we're coming down Robinsonville Road to pull into our house, we have to start signaling half a mile up the road. And then, on top of that, they think we're turning at Cedar Grove because we're two houses down from Cedar Grove. And it's really getting frightening on that road. And I just wanted to go on record to say that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anything else from the commission? All right, seeing none, we're going to close the public hearing. I don't need to hit that. All right, you're invited to see if we make a motion this evening, or you can call the office in the morning.
Okay, thank you very much.